From barrenness to thriving life, it's a story that'll bless you and stir your heart.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, Michael Brown here, still in India. As you're listening to this broadcast, I should be nearing home. If I'm not nearing home, it means I'm stuck somewhere, but it should be nearing home and ready to be back with you live tomorrow. But I'm in India with some of our ministry team, Randy and Andrea Serson, who have served faithfully with us the last few years and are part of our ministry family. And I felt that it would be important for them to take a trip over to India with me. There were challenges because they've got a baby just 9 months old. To leave him back with family, not easy. To bring him along all the way to India, challenging. The funds to get here, challenging. Schedule everything with work and the ministry responsibilities to come along with me, challenging. But the Lord's opened the door. We're sitting here together in Vishakhapatnam, India, before we all begin to head back tomorrow. And Randy and Andrea, you prayed a lot about this trip. You raised money. God graciously brought in the funds for you. I haven't even asked you this question yet, but being here and being in the midst of the ministry we work with here, has it impacted you, Randy, the way you were expecting it to?
Well, absolutely. One of the things that I've been praying for is just an experience reflected by Paul in Philippians. He just said that I strive to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. And so one of my big prayers during this time is, God, lay hold of me, empower me and grip me so that I will do everything it takes to fulfill the purposes of God for my life. And this has just been an amazing experience. Everything that I see is just empowered by God's Spirit gripping me on the inside.
Yeah, and there's something about your own story that's very powerful. And I asked you to share some of it at the pastor's meeting yesterday, and as you were sharing it, some of what's happened in your lives, I believe it's going to minister to many listeners, to moms who can't have kids, to folks who are stuck in spiritual barrenness, to pastors and leaders who are unable to reproduce, it seems. Something very powerful, but I want to first talk about a dream, Andrea, that you had. 2 days ago, I got an email from my former personal assistant, Trent, who's now a missionary in the Philippines. And he was praying for the two of you, because he'd worked here with you before leaving for the mission field. He was praying for the two of you that God would really impact you on this trip. And then he said in the email that he was specifically praying that God would confirm things to Andrea by way of dreams. And I thought, well, that's interesting, and I didn't even know if God spoke to her in dreams. And friends, it's all in the Bible. God never said he'd stop speaking to people in dreams. So I preached a message 2 nights ago, and it was kind of out of the blue, but I felt to preach on be fruitful and multiply and how God brings blessing out of barrenness, and even to pray for women who couldn't have children, couples that couldn't have children, and for pastors that were struggling. And I get an email the next morning from you, Andrea. And what had happened?
Well, during the time that we were praying about coming here, or shortly after we decided to come, I had a dream one night that I was in a meeting in India with you and with Yesupadam and the ministry leader here. And you were sharing the same message that you had shared that night on just barrenness and being fruitful. And then you were praying and laying hands on the people, on women who could not have children and on people who were spiritually barren. And in the dream, I was just feeling such an intense presence from the Lord and his burden to share that message that I was weeping. And I woke up out of my sleep still crying.
So here you are in India, and the dream that you had and saw me preaching that very message and praying for people that very way, you're here in India, and I preach that very message, and we're living it out together. Because of that, because of this message from barrenness to blessing, I want to take our listeners on a journey with you about what's happened in your own lives. Friends, you don't want to miss a minute of this. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, Michael Brown here. Still in India, as you listen to this broadcast, I should be nearing my way back home. But we're not talking so much about India, as much as a personal story with some of our ministry team, ministry staff, Randy and Andrea Serson, here with their nine-month-old miracle baby, Cyrus. Randy heads up our order department and other aspects of our ministry. Andrea heads up my travel schedule. So we're working together all the time. And in prayer, I just got impressed that they should come with me to India this trip here in December, and that it would impact their lives in a lasting way. It would even speak into things about their ministry calling. But while we've been here, we've talked more about some of their personal background, some of the things that happened in their own lives. And Randy and Andrea, how long have you been married now?
5.5 years.
5.5 years. All right. Andrea, when were you first told that you would not be able to have children?
By a doctor, I don't know for sure. Definitely in my adult life, but all through my life, it was just one of those things that people spoke over me, that you will never have children.
Really? I mean, when did it happen? What kind of ways did they speak it over you?
Just all kinds of people. People that even loved and cared about me and wanted to see me, you know, have children in the future, but, you know, they would just say that, you know, based on my life, some different things I'd been through, or the way I treated myself, just based on my past.
Before you were saved.
Yeah, before I was saved. That, you know, if you don't stop that, you're never going to have children.
All right, and some of the physical issues that you became aware of that were going to stop you from having children, what were they?
Well, when I was shortly before we got married, I started having some major autoimmune issues. The only diagnosis I've ever had has been lupus, and so that was one major hurdle that has played a significant role.
And what's the problem with autoimmune issues and having a baby?
Well, what I've been told is that the body sees the baby as a foreign invader, and so it attacks the baby whenever you become pregnant and, you know, you lose the baby very early on.
All right, so Randy, when the two of you are married, there are a lot of couples now that put off having kids, and it's more and more common to not, you know, you establish a career and you don't even think of kids until you're well into your 30s, and just when it's within time for the mom to safely have a baby, you'll have a baby. And some couples not even having kids at all. Was that in your mind that, hey, Andrew has these difficulties, maybe we just won't have kids?
No, that was never at all in our mind. It's been burned into our heart that he is the God of the impossible, and that the Word of God says that he opens and closes the womb. And we even took that just for our personal lives, that we would just trust the Lord to give us children whenever it saw fit to him. And it was 3 years of being married before she even got pregnant.
All right. And during this time, Andrea, you had a dream about a baby. What happened?
I had a dream that I was actually in labor. I was in a hospital room and all the doctors had walked out of the room and I was in there by myself, and I was full of fear because I just said, Lord, I don't know how to have this baby on my own. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, do not fear, your son will be strong and healthy. And as he said that, I just gave birth to a son, and he was so large in the dream that I had to use two baby blankets to wrap him up.
Uh-huh, big head. Cyrus is an adorable kid, and he's got a good size head. He's absolutely adorable. And, all right, so part of that dream was not just symbolic.
Right.
All right, so you had that dream. Did you have a sense of assurance after that, or did you still battle with fear?
I absolutely knew that I would have a son.
All right. And I remember, Randy, that you would talk about it. Andrew was full-time in the office. You were full-time. But you kept talking about she's made to be a mother and we're going to have kids. And you related this promise of the dream. So did you feel sure? Did you wrestle also?
I have come to really trust the voice of God through my wife. She has an amazing track record of hearing the Lord, especially through dreams. More literal than not, which I find to be a very rare thing. So when I heard this, I just said, okay, the Lord spoke and he is faithful. And that dream was actually the night before we found out she was pregnant.
Really? Wow. All right, so you get pregnant the first time. Did you think, okay, this is it? Prayers answered. God's moved. Everything's going to go smoothly. What were you thinking, Andrea?
I mean, we were so excited. I just remember I mean, we were bursting at the seams, and, you know, most people wait to tell people they're pregnant, and we were shouting from the rooftops immediately, and we just thought for sure that God had really done it, and it was going to be amazing.
This is it.
Another really important thing to remember is we were in a transition from a lot of travel. We had been doing a lot of travel sent out from another
ministry. And when you first arrived in North Carolina, where did you guys live?
We lived in a 1980 Volkswagen camper van.
Right, they lived in a van, not an RV, a van. That's where you slept, and then when folks opened the home for you to shower and so on.
Yeah,
so.
Everything was by faith at that time, and within a few days we were offered.
And now with the salary we pay you, you've gotten a better van. No,
yeah,
I'm kidding.
Yes, exactly.
I'm kidding.
Two vans.
Right.
But within a few days we were offered a full-time job to help with Fire Church, and so it was just amazing the way the Lord was.
And it was quite an exalted job, wasn't it?
It was very exalted to the Lord.
What were you doing?
I was initially just cleaning part-time for the church, and then from there just started to oversee more of the property and things like
right.
that.
Right, so basically a maintenance job.
Yeah.
You have a calling on your lives for ministry, but this is where God planted you, so you're working a maintenance job and then come to work for our ministry. So you were getting settled now, so it's like time for the baby.
Yes.
All right, so this is it. Home free, God answered, miracle. You got and you were also told you wouldn't be able to conceive at a certain point?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I remember the day you were helping with my radio broadcast, and I remember you got a call. You looked concerned. What was the report?
That I had lost, well, that I was in the process of losing the baby.
Right. There was bleeding, and there was danger of losing the baby. And I remember Randy just seeing, you know, downcast like any husband's going to be. But I can't relate, obviously, as a man, to how this feels to a woman, especially when you had this promise in a dream, you were convinced you're going to have a baby. So what was going on in your mind? First, the first sign you may lose the baby, what were you thinking?
I was really panicked, but obviously I was just having a lot of physical pain. My body, even just aside from the pregnancy, I had just been having a lot of health issues, so I was just in a lot of pain in general. So Randy was actually out of town at the time, and I just didn't know what to do, and I was panicking.
But you know, I'm thinking of a second, when I saw your face, I think it was the second time, but I remember getting the message of concern to pray.
Yes, the interesting thing is, I was actually on a trip with you in St. Louis.
Okay.
Oh, no, in Ohio.
That's right. So I did see we were together. All right,
we were debating Bart Ehrman, does the Bible provide an adequate answer for the problem of suffering?
Yes.
And so while I was sitting there listening to the debate, while Bart Ehrman is accusing the goodness of God, I'm sitting here worshiping the Lord through this and just trusting in His goodness.
So you're away from your wife.
Yes.
Right. You had driven too. So it's not
we drove all night through.
Right. It's not. You went with two other brothers from our work. Drove all the way to Ohio to be there to support me during the debate and to interview people and so on. You get the call in the midst of this. You can't just shoot back to be with your wife. All right. You lose the baby.
Yeah.
What were you thinking, Andrea?
I mean, obviously, I was devastated. I mean, at first.
Well, what about the dream?
I don't know. I mean, at first, I had no clue. I had no place on my grid to know what to do with it. But, you know, within a short time, I just decided that, you know, the Lord is true, and I was just going to keep on believing.
Did you ever feel like the dream died, though?
I'm sure there was moments of that. I mean, it was a constant wrestle, but I refused to stop and be in a place of accusing God or doubting God or thinking that He had lied. I knew that God spoke to me. And I wasn't going to question what he said.
So it's not just a generalization that everyone that's barren is guaranteed they're going to have children. You see patterns of promise in Scripture, and God says, be fruitful and multiply. But you felt you had a direct promise. So Randy, what's going on in your life? Obviously, you got to keep a stiff upper lip. We're on a ministry trip together, and you know we care. We're compassionate, but there's a whole swirl of things going on. We can't just stop all the activity and the debate. And what's going on in your mind?
Well, in my mind, I was thinking of the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. It says, you know, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And so
And that was written by a man whose wife and children died
in an
accident at sea. And as he was at sea, he wrote those words.
Yes.
So you were able to comfort yourself with the loss of your first baby to a miscarriage, that it's well with your soul.
Yes, and so during that time, I was just trying to keep myself from just losing control, but to keep my mind stayed on the Lord, and that's the only place where peace is, you know, to keep your mind on Him.
All right, Andrea, 30 seconds. You see a doctor after the first miscarriage. What does she say to you?
She said, "I can't believe someone like you is even trying to get pregnant. There is no way you'll conceive again. If you ever conceive, you'll never carry a child. If you ever carry a child, it will never be healthy."
All right. And friends, when a doctor tells you this, it can come with a damning, heavy weight. This is what they're under, and the story is just getting started. Friends, stay with us. There's a story of encouragement coming your way. Blessing, bountiful blessing out of barrenness right here on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on this last broadcast from India. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. And since I love to multitask, not only am I doing this radio broadcast, but I am getting close to landing, God willing, in Charlotte, North Carolina. Our journey, yeah, I pre-recorded the show, but right here, sitting in India, doing this broadcast. So here we leave Visakhapatnam and the east coast of India, the southern part of India, fly from there to Mumbai, Bombay, spend about 12 hours there, then from Mumbai to Amsterdam, Amsterdam to Detroit, Detroit to Charlotte, and from start to finish, 36, 38 glorious, blessed hours. But what makes this trip special, as part of our ministry team serving faithfully with me, Randy and Andrea, with their miracle baby Cyrus. I mean, every child is a blessing and a miracle from the Lord, but some had to overcome more obstacles to get here. And I just thought it would be of value to you, whatever stage of life you find yourself in, friends, whether you are experiencing something different with miscarriage and inability to have children, whether it's been miscarrying of visions and dreams in your own lives, I believe the story of Randy and Andrea and Cyrus will richly minister to you. So, Andrea, you have your health issues. You're told you'll never have a child. You have a dream from the Lord. You're convinced you're going to have a boy. Randy's convinced because you're convinced. Trust me, I've been married almost 37 years. I know how it works. When Nancy knows that she knows, I can write it down. It's sure. So, pregnancy, wonderful, and then you lose the baby. First pregnancy, you lose the baby. And a doctor tells you to your face, you're crazy to even try to get pregnant. Don't do this. And you had other health issues. I remember, you know, just you're much more vibrant now. You're more frail in those earlier days. So, you have health issues, and you're crazy to try to get pregnant. If you get pregnant, you won't carry the baby. If you do carry the baby, he's going to be deformed. He's going to have serious issues. Mm-hmm. All right, how did you leave the doctor's office? You just lost a baby. You've been physically drained. You're in physical pain. Andrew, what was your mental state?
I think I was really disappointed, and I think I was a little bit confused.
All right, and it's not long after that you get pregnant again. And I remember being amazed how quickly Randy came and reported that you're pregnant again. And of course, you're at work, and we'd watch the various phases of morning sickness and these other things. So second time around, Randy, how are you feeling?
Again, like she was saying, a little bit confused at first on if this is really going to be the answer that we're waiting for, or if just didn't know what we were in for.
All right, so now it's a little more complicated. It's not just like get pregnant, have a baby. It's get pregnant and sustain a pregnancy and then beat back the fears that there's going to be a problem in the baby's health.
Yeah.
And look, this is real life. It doesn't always just go, you push a button and smile your way to heaven and never have a problem, never have an issue. Did you think, well, maybe there's sin in our lives? Maybe we've done something wrong. Did that occur to you?
We work very hard to maintain a clean conscience before God, and we trust that in whatever ways we may be falling short, we trust because he's our Father, he will tell us what needs adjusted when, and in the meantime, we just try to keep it.
So thankfully, you didn't live with that cloud over your head, like, oh, maybe you did some. How'd you feel as the mom then?
I mean, I definitely, there were a lot of people that had a lot of input, and, you know, people tend to say the stupidest things when you're going through a hard time, so there was a lot to really juggle and sort through, so it definitely was a wrestle, but I feel like overall we were able to press into the Lord and keep a clear head about it.
All right, and we're going to share this story over the course of an hour, which means we're into it, but there's a lot more to say. But I know not all of our listeners, at least the first time around, will be able to hear all of this. So I want to fast forward, but we're going to come back and let more of the story unfold. From those that you work with, from me, from Cindy, the director of our ministry, what were you hearing from us? Because the long story short, you miscarried one time, you miscarried two times, you miscarried three times, you miscarried four times in the course of about how long?
About a year and a half.
All right. Ladies, do you hear that? Some of you are shaking your head. You can't believe this. Some of you have been through something similar. But again, I'm a man. I can only relate from a certain distance. But I remember just being amazed and over again so quickly. And then fifth time, difficult pregnancy, more than 3-day labor. Did you hear that, ladies? More than 3-day labor and a wonderful, healthy, blessed child who's been amazing on this trip. I discouraged you from bringing him. I gave you all the reasons not to. I said, if it's the Lord, great, I'll be happy. But he's just been amazing. Okay, what were you hearing from the people that were closest to you in ministry? You're getting a lot of different input, a lot of different opinions. What were you hearing from us in terms of how that spilled over into your attitude?
What we heard was an unwavering just encouragement and affirmation that that we're holding on to God, and you guys just helped to hold our hands up. We appreciate that very much.
Yeah, exactly. It was all just keep going. You know, the Lord is going to do it. And so we just kept going.
And, you know, here's what's interesting. We obviously have friends that have not been able to have children, and we've prayed for them and haven't seen results. Many we have. It's been an area I've been able to pray for people over the years and seen the Lord do amazing things. But here's what's interesting. God gave you a dream, Andrea. That gave you such confidence, you shared it with Randy. When you shared it with Randy, that gave him such confidence. Randy, when you shared it with me that you guys were going to have kids and that you were going to have a boy, I knew the Lord spoke it. You just shared it in such a way that it was factual from God that I had a witness in my heart. So I never questioned it. I didn't know, as the miscarriages went on, how long it was going to take, but I was convinced it was getting close. I was convinced each time it was getting closer, and either it was this time, I was hoping it was this time, or the next, but I was sure it was going to happen. Friends, I want to encourage you, and we'll share the rest of the story over the next half hour, so if you miss any of it, go to askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire, you can catch the entire broadcast as we are here in Vishakhapatnam, India, after an amazing 3 days together of ministry and serving with the brothers and sisters here. But I want to encourage you that there is a word to be fruitful and multiply. I want to encourage couples that can't have kids to meditate on Psalm 113 and see if the Lord gives you a word of promise and encouragement. And I want to encourage you listening to stand with us. We're coming towards the end of the year, and many of you will be spending money on holiday presents or trying to catch up in different ways. Can I encourage you to make a monthly investment that will last forever? We are looking for new torchbearers at the end of this year, those who stand with us for at least $25 or more per month. And what we're going to do for every new 4 torchbearers we get, we're going to sponsor a full-time pastor on the front lines here in India. If you can believe that, we'll take your funds and we will commit to sponsoring pastors here and then use the rest of the funds to help with this radio broadcast and this outreach by God's grace we're doing around the world. To stand with us, call this number right now. 1-800-278-9978. You'll be helping us, and you'll be helping the gospel go on the front lines in India, an amazing ministry. 1-800-278-9978, or go to askdrbrown.org. Just click on support.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, welcome to the Line of Fire, my last broadcast from India. I hope you've been blessed by the audio clips we've played from India, by the shows live from India, by the interviews from India, some of the things we've shared from here. Look, we're in this together, friends, and when I travel, you travel with me, and I want you to feel the reality of that, that together we are making a difference. Obviously, I'm not taking calls, but hopefully I should be just about arriving back in Charlotte after about a day and a half of travel, and then looking forward to coming your way live on the Line of Fire broadcast. But I'm joined today by Randy and Andrew Searson. They are part of our ministry team. If you've received orders from us over the years, if you are a Torchbearer monthly supporter and you get a letter and CD from us, if you've called needing help with different issues, this has been in Randy's faithful hands, which also means if you didn't get that order, Randy's the one to blame. And Andrea is the one that takes care of my travel schedule and coordinates things and helps to book my tickets to get to places like India. Sometimes I think she makes my schedule extra crazy just because she enjoys seeing me run around, but we'll take that up another time. We're talking about their personal story of going from barrenness to blessing. I preached a message the second night here in India on this trip, felt impressed to do it quite out of the blue. Be fruitful and multiply. God made us to multiply. He made us to multiply in life. He made us to multiply souls and disciples. And then at the end, I laid hands on couples that were unable to have children. I did put out a cautionary word. I said, if you're like 93-year-old widow, you know, we're not believing that you're going to have kids, so just God bless you. You can reproduce in other ways. But I said, if you're a couple here, we want to pray for you. And to pastors and ministers that you're sowing and laboring and you're not seeing fruit, you're not seeing breakthroughs, we want to pray for blessing out of barrenness. And I come to find out after I preached the message that God had given Andrea a dream before the trip when they were praying about coming on this trip with me because I invited them to and felt it would be life-changing if they came along. And she had a dream and in the dream saw me preaching this exact message that I preached here in India the second night, and even saw me laying hands on people afterwards, women that couldn't have kids and pastors that were spiritually barren. And she was so overcome in the dream, she was weeping and woke up crying. And then I get that report the next day. And it made me interested to even talk more about their own journey because of health issues. Andrea had some abuses. The way she lived before she was saved, she was told she'd never have a child. And then God gave her a dream that she was going to have a boy. Randy, her husband, was convinced it was the Lord. And at this point, they've been working for us. And Andrea's not pregnant, but Randy says they have a promise. She's going to have a baby, even though the doctors say she can't. And they have a miscarriage. First time around, miscarriage. Second time, miscarriage. Third time, miscarriage. Fourth time, miscarriage. And doctors are telling them, you are absolutely crazy. You're going to destroy your body. You're going to destroy your health. You're never going to have a successful pregnancy and deliver a baby. Anyway, Randy, we're going to go a little more in depth about what was going on in your lives. But just 30 seconds. How are you feeling as the husband, the father, to be the man of faith? You seeing your wife go through this. How are you feeling?
Well, being a husband, I feel a tremendous responsibility to protect her, to be her safe place, to be everything that God will allow me to be for her. And so this is one of those things that I can't, you know, I can't grab a hammer or some tool and just fix a problem. So I felt very helpless, and very much had to lean on the Lord more than I'm used to.
Yeah, and that feeling of helplessness as the husband can be challenging. All right, God brings blessing out of barrenness. Stay with us.
Oh God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, coming away from Vishakhapatnam, India, my last broadcast from India. Now, I know there are dogs in America, but there's a dog outside of where we're recording here in India as well. But that's where we are. Those of you that are dog experts can recognize that as an Indian bark. Just kidding. All right. I'm obviously not taking calls, but hopefully arriving any moment now or very shortly back in Charlotte, North Carolina. So thanks for praying with us on this trip. I'm joined by faithful ministry team staff members Randy and Andrea. They've traveled here with their 9-month baby. All right. So Andrea, you have 4 miscarriages in the course of a year and a half. First, what's happening to you health-wise during this time?
After each pregnancy, my health was significantly getting worse. By the time I lost the 4th baby, I was in so much pain that I hadn't been working much until I started to help with the ministry, and even then it was just a real challenge to get through a day.
So you're physically exhausted?
Yeah, just exhausted. I just had constant pain in my body. And
doctors have warned you, don't do this. You're killing yourself. You're never going to have a healthy baby anyway. So what's your mental and emotional state at this point?
It was back and forth, because in one sense I was just devastated and frustrated and confused and broken and all the things that you would feel experiencing the loss of 4 babies. At the same time, I was constantly wrestling to lay hold of the Lord and His promise and just not give in to the temptation to say that, oh, maybe the promise died or maybe the dream wasn't true. Like, I had to continue to fight and remind myself that God spoke to me and His word is true.
Now, Randy, there's a lot of teaching these days about Christianity being effortless. It's a teaching I've addressed on the air. On the one hand, walking with Jesus is a delight. We spend time in His presence and life just flows out of us and fruit bearing just flows out of us. But would you agree that following Jesus and taking hold of His promises is just an effortless thing?
Absolutely not. I mean, the Lord is our refuge, but you need a refuge because it's not a safe place to live in this world. And so one of the verses that we have really leaned on is from Hebrews chapter 10, when the writer says, "You have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you can receive the promises." And so it's very easy to just do the will of God and expect an instant result. Sometimes it's a fight, and it isn't always easy to know if you're going to see the promise on this side of life or the next.
You know, it's interesting. It takes faith to do the will of God, maybe to stand up for righteousness in your job and you lose a promotion because of it. Or you're going to preach the truth as a pastor, even if it's unpopular. Or a kid in school is going to go against the grain and honor the Lord and be modest, even though there's all kinds of pressure and so on. Or a pastor in a village is not going to deny Jesus and instead he gets persecuted. It takes faith often to do the will of God, but then often when we do the will of God, we don't get the instant result, so we have to continue to hold on in faith. And Randy, you were saying in the last segment that part of you felt helpless, which is a rough thing as a husband, and you're the father of 4 miscarried babies, so you're a father in a certain way. How did you get through that feeling of helplessness, coming to a place of faith?
You know, it really just comes down to the faithfulness of God. I was thinking about this, talking with Sean, who's interning here as one of your fire students, that if God had given us a baby without giving us a promise, we would have been able to declare that he is good, that He gave us a child. But because He promised us the child, not only can we declare that He's good, but that He's faithful. And it was trust in His faithfulness, really, that carried me through.
All right, so after this 4th miscarriage, in a year and a half, and again, I'm not in your world day and night. We work together and serve the Lord together, and you help me in ministry. But I'm pretty close to what's happening with both of you, and thinking, first, I'm amazed that bouncing back another pregnancy, even that your body can do it. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of times it's going to take quite a while, or the mom just needs to take a break. And the interesting thing, Andrea, I didn't see in those days in you a lot of joy and a sense of like overwhelming victory. It was almost like this determination where you like sink your teeth in and you're just not going to let go. I mean, is that what you were feeling?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I didn't, it's not that I felt, you know, defeated or down or depressed. I mean, there were moments of wrestling with those things, but more than anything, I was just determined to see the will of God come to pass in my life. And I wasn't, you know, so many people wanted to pressure me to settle for something less and to convince myself that the promise had changed or something else. And I just was determined to really trust what God said and see it happen.
So maybe the first baby you had, that was the vision and the baby's with the Lord.
Right.
Or maybe you did that and you adopt a child, which God's blessed many people doing that very thing. But you felt there's more. So you're gonna now take a little break because it's been four miscarriages in a short period of time. And what happens, Randy?
Well, we were planning to take a break just to kind of recollect, kind of get our thoughts together so that we knew how to proceed with full confidence in God. And before we knew it, before we really had a time to really feel like we had completed that process, we found out we were pregnant again.
All right, so it's number five, and Trent, my personal assistant in the Philippines now as a missionary, definitely a man of the Spirit, he came and told you.
Yes, yes. He's become one of my best friends ever, and so when I told him, he was one of the few people that, you know, with each miscarriage, we were slower and slower to tell people, but
right.
He was one of the first people that I told, and he had to overcome things with his wife as well to have children, and he just shared with me that when they came to that point, they got the breakthrough, and he just knew, he had this conviction that this was going to be it. It took me some time to come to that conclusion, but I definitely kept that in my mind.
And friends, in the midst of this very serious interview, if you're wondering, is there a dog in your car or a dog somewhere in your office? Or maybe you're listening with your headphones jogging somewhere and wondering if there's a dog behind you or suddenly a dog in your house. So that's a dog out in the yard somewhere here in Vishakhapatnam. We got a quiet place, but this dog has acted up a little. So just full disclosure. Okay, back to the serious stuff. Andrew, this is it. This ends up producing Cyrus, an incredible boy, 9 months old, and done better, I think, than anyone could have expected on all these trips and 8-9 hour plane rides and 10.5 hour time differential and difficult situations and on. Great, healthy, vibrant, joyful kid. So it was a great pregnancy?
No. I was on a lot of medication to help with the pregnancy. And a lot of that had side effects that made me all the more sick, you know, more than the normal morning sickness. This was morning, noon, night, midnight, all through the day sickness.
Yeah, you looked pretty miserable,
yeah,
actually, during that time.
Yeah. So I
remember thinking to myself, hey, you've been wanting to be pregnant. This is the miracle baby. This is it. You should be happier.
Yeah.
It's easier said than done.
Yeah, everybody said the sicker you feel, the healthier the baby. So I, you know.
But it's a little hard to process that.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. How sick did you get?
I mean, I got to the point where I was throwing up so much that I was throwing up blood, and I ended up in the hospital just because I couldn't keep anything down, and I was losing a lot of weight.
And and for those that don't know Andrew, she doesn't have a lot of weight to lose to start. So this is really, I mean, it's threatening your health at this point.
Right.
Okay. What's going on in your mind now? Because you've had a doctor tell you
right.
that if you get pregnant, you're never going to keep the baby. If you keep the baby, you're going to give birth to a handicapped, deformed, terribly sick baby, something. You're not going to have a normal child. What's going on in your head during this time?
I mean, obviously, part of me was really trusting in the Lord, but there were definitely my doubts just because, you know, even early in this fifth pregnancy, they did some tests and found out that I had some sort of an issue that caused my body not to have folic acid, even though I'd been taking the supplement. And folic acid, you know, helps the baby develop normally and prevents any kind of problems that way. So, you know, it was well into 8 weeks of pregnancy and there was no folic acid in my system.
Mm.
So they were really cautious and doing a lot of extra ultrasounds to monitor for different problems. You know, they had their doubts.
And I remember Randy sharing the report and I felt, okay, it's a challenge, but everything's going to be all right. You know, he's going to be all right. And of course, easier for me to say from the outside, but still I'm carrying this together with you. And then you make it through 9 months and labor was easy, right?
It was a breeze, yeah.
A three-day breeze?
Yeah.
Or was it more than 3 days?
I mean, it was so hard to tell because I kind of had a lot of, intense false labor for days leading up to it. So I was exhausted and hadn't slept, a week before I actually went into labor.
And gave birth to a good, healthy boy.
Yeah. Well, not quite.
All right. So listen, friends. If you're thinking, when does the story end? Here we are in India with a wonderfully healthy 9-month-old thriving baby, but getting there is an amazing challenge. We'll tell you the end of the story, and then Randy and Andrew have some words of encouragement for you as well. Thanks for listening to The Line of Fire. God's word to us: be fruitful and multiply. That's how God made us, to reproduce.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, friends, I'm personally gripped as I sit with Randy and Andrew Searson, part of our faithful ministry team, part of our staff that helps us together make a difference for the gospel in America and literally around the world. Sharing their story. It's our last day here together in Vishakhapatnam. So we recorded this to air as we're all making our way back to the States. And of course, I expect you to be fully ready for a full day of work the moment that you are back home. No, remember, no mercy. Okay. So if you just tuned in, after 4 miscarriages in a year and a half and a very, very difficult 5th pregnancy and over 3 days of labor and exhaustion, Andrea gives birth to Cyrus, the promised son. God had given her a dream before this that she was going to get pregnant, going to have a son, even though doctors told her it would never happen. So, Andrea, he wasn't born perfectly healthy?
No. When he was first born, everything seemed fine at first. He seemed a little bit drowsy from, obviously, the long labor, as we all were quite drowsy. But,
I was even drowsy from a distance. Yeah. Well, not quite, but I remember thinking, this is just, it doesn't end.
Yeah.
I mean, that's easy for me to say, but I'm just remembering this. Wow, this is...
Family thought that we must have had him and not told anyone because couldn't believe it was taking so long.
And, sometimes I can be absent-minded because I'm multitasking and doing different things. And I thought, did I miss something somewhere?
Yeah.
They must have... Did I remember wrong? Didn't the email say she's in labor? Didn't we get the call? And, so starts off fine, and then what?
He was actually... About 12 hours later, basically, he still had not eaten anything, and he was very drowsy, not alert, and he started throwing up. And he hadn't eaten anything, so it's not like there was, babies.
It's like mother, like son now.
Yes, yeah, there you go. So we had him at home, so we took him into the doctors right away, and by the time we got there, he was doing worse. He was kind of purple on one side, and he started... vomiting bile, and it was getting progressively worse. So they told us to go over to the hospital. They were going to admit him right away. And we got there, they just started working on him, and they basically prepared us for the worst. They thought for sure, I mean, they were almost 100% sure that he had some kind of a major malformation of his intestines or some kind of vital organ that was causing this.
Just as the doctor prophesied, you'll never have a healthy child.
Yeah. Yeah, so they prepared us that we might lose him. They had the surgeon ready to go for surgery. And here my baby was just ripped out of my arms, and I might not ever see him again. And so I was losing it.
All right, so at that point, with all the faith, all the prayer, it was almost like overkill.
Yeah.
Too much. And there is this incredible aspect of God that we fight the good fight, we believe, we battle, but then sometimes out of our complete helplessness, he just says, all right, let me take it from here. Watch what I'm going to do. What's going on with you, Randy?
Well, as I was watching Cyrus being worked on and continuing to throw up large puddles of fluids and things, I just looked at Andrea and I could just tell she was shutting down. And so something rose up in me for her that I just had to stand there and be strong. There was no words to say, but I just kept my hand on her and... Ephesians 6, after having done all, stand. And that's
all right.
All
so again, there it is. You've done the will of God. You believe God and you stand. And we don't have time to give every dramatic detail, but how long after that was he healthy and thriving?
Actually, some leaders from the local church community came in and prayed for him, I think on day three. And the Lord instantly touched him. His body jumped, and he was not the same. I mean, he was...
What do you mean his body jumped?
Like, his body... He hadn't really had any kind of startle reflex, uh-huh. like a baby has. And he... His body just kind of jumped. His eyes popped open, and he wanted to start eating right away.
Amazing.
So, and from that time, he's been the healthiest, happiest...
Very happy kid. Yeah, I've been so impressed on this trip. You know, once it was clear he was going to come, and even get the visa... for him to come was last minute. I thought maybe the Lord doesn't want him to come. I sent another email here, all the reasons why it's good not to bring him, but if it's the Lord, great. And I thought it's out of our hands. Indian Embassy is either going to approve this or not, and it's going to get overnighted, either yes or no. I said, God, your will.
Right.
Your will, whatever you want. When I got the email, I was on the road with my family. Cyrus is coming. I thought, okay, I'm going to trust God. It's going to be great. And he's, of course, I haven't had to take care of him, but he's just been a joy, smiling. And we had you get up and share and brief your testimony. Yesterday was a little challenging because it was translated twice. So every, you know, I asked the question, you know, this long question, translated, and you say yes
yeah.
or no. But right at the right moment, we said, and here he just started, he got all excited as if he knew what was happening. It was wonderful. So Randy, we just got a couple of minutes, but there are people out there that you can really relate to because they've struggled in these very areas or they find themselves in this similar situation right now. What would you say to them after what you've experienced and lived through?
I would say to them that in my experience, faith is not ultimately in the outcome of a situation on a foundational level. It's faith in the nature of God. And from there, our confidence is built by Him to believe for the things that He's promised from us.
So His goodness is not affected by circumstances?
Absolutely not. He was good before the world was made. He was good when Adam fell, and he will be good in the end.
And he was good during the miscarriages. He still remained good.
He was good. He was faithful to us.
And Andrew, what would you say, maybe to a mom, maybe to someone in the midst of barrenness or struggles in this way, what would you say to them?
One thing I keep thinking is just even before I had a promise from the Lord that I was going to have Cyrus, I just determined that I was not going to let this hold me back in my life, that if the Lord never gave me a child, I was going to be content. I was going to trust Him, that He is faithful, He is good, and to have joy in Him. You know, so many people, they can't have children, and their whole life revolves around that one issue, and they lose their joy, they lose their purpose, you know, and I, even once the promise came, even then I determined that even when I didn't see that promise, that I was not going to waver regarding just the faithfulness of God and knowing who He is and living my life to bring Him glory, no matter what was going on.
Yeah, that's such a good word. What both of you said is just so relevant. Friends, I want to encourage you to read the end of the book of Habakkuk, where the prophet says, though there are no fig trees, there's no food, there's nothing for anybody, everything's shut down, I'm going to rejoice in God. I'm going to rejoice in God. And I've seen you guys, I've seen your emotions go up and down like every other person, but I've seen you steadfast in faith this entire time, kind of bulldog locked in, and it's because God has locked in you. And here we get to experience India together with Cyrus. Absolutely amazing. Friends, if you go to my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, you can see a picture of Randy, Andrew, and Cyrus Thurston in their Indian outfits. And you guys work with us. You know that we're frugal as a staff and team. There's a whole lot that comes out of what we do, and a lot of money goes through. We don't hold on to it. It goes right back out. You've been here in India. You see the work here. Friends, for $50 a month, we can support a full-time pastor, full-time on the front lines of India. I'm encouraging you to become a monthly torchbearer of our ministry. The next torchbearers that we get, every four new torchbearers, we're going to sponsor another pastor here in India. So you'll be bearing fruit on the front lines as well as standing with us on the Line of Fire broadcast. Call today, stand with us, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Become a monthly supporter so together we can make a difference around the world. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, our God is utterly faithful, a God who brings beauty and blessing and bounty out of barrenness.